we are.
That's the worst.
Was that Andre the Giant? Did Andre the Giant?
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow. I just ruined that entire thing right there.
Stop listening, Jess. Turn it off.
I want
Hollywood,
to apologize.
If you want me for impressions, my name is Brett Neese. You can contact me via email or Facebook. I do some great impressions. Doc especially.
What? All of his impressions are just...
That sounded...
A guy who's slowly losing his hearing.
It's like Andrew Luck during a press conference. Oh, crap. I'm sorry.
So, what we were trying to do was a Back to the Future opening to celebrate today, when we are recording, which is Back to the Future Day, October 21st, 2015.
Yay.
And you know what I have to say? Fuck today.
Why? Why is that, Dan?
I have no Nikes, no hoverboard, no Pepsi Perfect. No clothes that adjust to your size by pulling a pocket.
Well, I will say multiple of those things.
No hover cars.
Came out today or will be coming out in the near future.
But they're not real. They're not everyday products. You gotta buy... You know how much the Pepsi Perfect cost that they release?
A lot.
$500.
Yeah. Stupid.
You wanna pay $500 for some fucking cancer juice?
My friend's sister got one at Comic-Con. She can sell that for $500? Holy crap.
Yeah.
Wow.
For some soda.
You could get a hoverboard for that.
Yeah.
If they existed.
Oh, man. Yeah, but Back to the Future, though. What a great series.
And the Cubs are pulling the most Cubsiest move of all.
Yeah.
Which is probably going to be eliminated from the Major League playoffs on Back to the Future Day.
Instead of sweeping, they got swept.
Yeah.
Bring out the brooms.
Burn that almanac, Marty McFly.
Yeah, maybe that's good, because Biff would have never become rich if his future was real.
Somebody's going to make a short about that.
Did you guys see the comparisons, though, of comparing Biff in Back to the Future 2 when he's all rich and powerful, because he kind of looks like Donald Trump? Like, the hair is kind of the same, like very thin and like fluffy and doesn't look real. And he owns a casino. And he's corrupt and loud.
Whoa. Getting scary. Getting scary real.
Watch it, butthead.
Would that make Joe Biden Doc?
No, it wouldn't.
Do you guys want me to do another Doc impression?
No.
Do your Joe Biden impression.
Yeah, what's your Joe Biden impression sound like?
Hey, China. Hey, relax, China. I'm Joe Biden.
Oh,
well, what was really interesting to me is just reading all the articles about a lot of the technologies that you see in the movie and how closely or like how exactly they've been on a ton of shit, which is crazy. But then it also gets me thinking about how, you know, 25 years ago, or, you know, whenever... 30 years ago, when this movie came out, there were kids watching that, or, like, young adults, that then became developers and scientists and designers and movie producers and all this shit, right? So, I feel like a lot of things that took place in, like, early TV and movies have a direct effect on the technologies that we experience today. There's a really cool story about the guy who invented the X-ray machine associated with Star Trek. So when he was growing up, he saw this episode of Star Trek where they did like an X-ray, where like, you know, this light goes over your body and you can see through your skin and into the bones. And at that point, the guy was like,
why can't we do this?
Yeah. I'm gonna invent this machine. This is a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes on to invent the X-ray machine.
I heard that Star Trek was a ground foundation for a lot of inventions. The tablet, things like that. I mean,
cell phone,
yeah. Things like that. A lot of stuff came from.
I mean,
from
Minority Report is held responsible for our addictions to touchscreens.
Yeah.
And that just came out, you know, 15 years ago, so not even two decades. But, I mean, I feel like movies have gotten a little bit more realistic when they are trying to predict futures now.
yeah.
Like, I think...
Extreme weather events.
Like, I think it was like Looper had, like, old, like, cars, which, when I say old, would probably be, like, buying it now. That had like solar conversion to it, which I can see happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like you gotta buy that solar converter pack, not that hover converter pack. And that's only like 30 years in the future.
They're taking like a Ridley Scottish approach to this, I think. Like what you saw in Alien is what you see now in these future movies, where it's like,
wait, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, it's
movies. No, like, I thought you were talking about real life because I got scared for a second.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, yeah.
What world are you living in?
So, right? Aliens are real? Wait, hold on. I know we're doing like a sci-fi episode tonight, talking about the future, the past, galaxies far, far away, and the red planet. But let's stop the line at face injecting. Body bursting aliens.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, those things give me nightmares.
Yeah,
and I don't have a nightlight anymore.
Well, what I'm saying
is because you're homeless. the world is your nightlight.
What I'm trying to get at is it's a much grittier future that we're living in now than this Jetson-like future that we grew up perceiving. I mean, there aren't these inventions. If these inventions exist, they're much more practical and real to what we're living these days, rather than. What we saw.
I mean, Marty McFly Jr. got sentenced to like 20 years in prison in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because they abolished all lawyers.
Yeah. They should really re-release. I'll tell you one thing about Back to the Future. They should re-release Jaws and have that 3D ad come out over the movie theater.
Left Shark?
Oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, Left Shark coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, Left Shark. It does look like Left Shark.
It looks exactly like Left Shark.
Look like Left Shark. Yeah, that scared the crap out of me back in the day, though.
Left Shark?
Yes.
Jaws. Jaws.
The bad choreography haunts your dreams to this day.
Yes.
I did see a funny image where someone froze it as the shark's coming out. So if you don't know what we're talking about, in one scene in Back to the Future Part 2, when they're actually in the future.
Part 2.
This 3D shark jumps out at Marty McFly. It's like Jaws 19, and it scares the shit out of him because it looks real. But someone froze it, and it looks a lot like Sharknado in a certain shot, which cracked me up. And I'm sure Sharknado will probably get up to 19 sequels.
Probably. Or that does make sense. I mean, Jaws was on its way.
It was.
I mean, hell, what isn't one of the sequels like, let's do it at SeaWorld?
That was Jaws 3. They did have Jaws the Revenge 2 with James Caan, I think, and
wow.
Or no, Michael Caine. I think
Michael Caine.
Dude, he is just as good as my impression.
See? There it is.
We need to go to Hollywood.
We all got it. We all got it.
Hollywood. Brian, we're going to test you out in a few minutes right here.
Oh, I tried my best for Marty McFly. Hey, Doc.
That's
I feel like Marty McFly is like a less flamboyant version of Robin from the 1960s. Like, his outbursts are very Robin-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that, for sure.
I can't remember...
Did you guys see all the, like, promo videos that came out today? Or, like, there was, like, a cool one with Doc Brown talking about how, like, it was, like, inspirational. About how, like, yeah, we got shit wrong because the future's not written yet, so go out and, like, make your future count and shit like that.
Yeah.
And there was a really cool one with them having a conversation, him and Michael J. Fox in like a coffee shop just talking about the movie.
Yeah.
Which was a really cool video.
Today was crazy for me. I remember being at, like, so I was at work or whatever, and every single person brought it up to me, like, hey, did you know
it's Back to the Future.
It's Back to the Future Day.
The Cubs are going to win the World Series.
Back to the Future. I felt like I was like watching the Chargers game, and they reminded me about Antonio Gates playing at Kent State. It was like, yes, I get it. That hasn't changed. That was basketball. Yeah, that is historically accurate, and it will never change. So keep reminding me of that.
I mean, I've been drunk since 11:30 a.m. because I was planning to take a drink every time someone mentioned Back to the Future.
Ooh.
You would be shitting your pants right now if that were true.
Squibbing?
Yes.
I'd be squibbing.
Squibbing, if you will.
Which, check out our Twitch stream. We play
Squiggle Muddle Muffin.
Yeah. Squiddle Muddle Muffin. Good job. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it was not. There's no muffin.
Played
in there.
Quiplash.
Quiplash, yeah. We twitched that earlier. That was fun. But hey, there have been a lot of, in the news of science fiction movies, we're talking about the old ones. There was some, there was a trailer that came out.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I don't even think we have to talk about the movie. Well, we do. Star Wars, the trailer came out. The Force Awakens. Guys, what do you think?
Well, when people at work had to ask me if it was a lightsaber in my pocket or if I had just seen the Star Wars trailer, I resoundingly answered that I just watched the trailer. And my God, it's like I almost don't even want to watch anymore because I don't want my expectations to be astronomical, pun intended. Because every new piece of footage that I see is better than the last. And I just am like beyond excited. I feel like when Star Wars first came out, like that's the type of hype and excitement and fervor is around this movie. Although I think when it first came out, people really weren't that into it. It was when like people saw it and they ran and told all their friends, like, you gotta go see this shit. It's the greatest movie of all time.
Yeah. I think people working on Star Wars the original didn't like it.
Yeah.
Like, thought it was gonna be a piece of shit. Dan, what do you think about it?
Is Star Wars a piece of shit?
Yeah. Is it a piece of shit? No, the
So, I have a lot of feelings. And I'm not, like, a huge Star Wars geek. But there's just a special place in my heart for this franchise. And every time I see a new piece of footage, I just want to fast forward to December. Right. I want to watch it. I want to enjoy it. I want to know. I want to see fucking lightsaber fights.
In 3D?
Yeah, in 3D.
Ooh,
let's go.
About that.
In IMAX 3D. I want to see fucking starship battles. I want to see some TIE fighters get taken down by some X-Wings. I want to see some good old Yoda logic. And just the score, just how that makes you feel. Like, we were talking about this with Back to the Future. Like, has a pretty recognizable score that you, like, you hear. You're like, oh, that's Back to the Future. Every time you hear Star Wars music, you're just like, gets me juiced.
Yeah.
Is that John Williams? Did you both?
John Williams. Yep. Yes. Yep.
And he was the man.
He did like all those scores for Spielberg and Lucas. And
yeah,
because
he did Indiana Jones too.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. What's really impressive about it too, what you're saying, Dan, is the sound about it. It sounds like the old Star Wars, and that it just induces a feeling of crap, man. I haven't felt this in a long time. And I don't even think I felt that with the last three that came out.
No, not at all.
I mean, and I mean, there are good parts of those movies, and I think they have somewhat of an anchor to what they're trying to do for the franchise. They sucked as movies.
I'll tell you the good parts. The Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon Jinn, Darth Maul lightsaber battle.
One.
The Obi-Wan, Anakin Skywalker lightsaber battle.
Two, and one more, Dan.
No, that's it.
I like the pod racing. I thought the pod racing was sick.
I would say the pod racing scene.
I mean, I just, everything about that movie I try to block out of my mind because Jar Jar Binks existed.
Ugh, God, right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to defend those movies. Those movies suck the first
like,
time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
terrible.
Could you imagine if J.J. Abrams just wanted to troll everybody and, you know, you see Kylo Ren talking to the Darth Vader mask and he just takes it off and it just, you see like some ears come out of it and you just hear Jar Jar's voice.
Dude,
and he's just like, I'll avenge you, mister.
The thing, though, is, like, look at what they're doing. I mean, look at what George Lucas's incentive was at that time. He just wanted to sell toys.
No, he didn't. He found this great technology, CGI, yeah, exactly. And was like, holy shit, we had to make models and blow them up with strings. Now I have computers that can create everything. Let's do it. Because if you go back and watch it, that's all. Like, we talk about how
I'm
Michael
not
going to
say that the CGI, though, is the bad part of the movies. It's the dog shit story.
Yeah.
It's the writing and things like that. So, like, I wouldn't say that he, you know, blew his load with overusing CGI, although he did.
Yeah.
But
people
that's
do,
not what ruined
people
the movie.
Do say that the original trilogy, the dialogue's not the best, and the best lines are mostly ad-libs, especially on Harrison Ford's part. Apparently, a lot of Han Solo's ad-libbed by him.
Huh.
Oh, I mean, even the famous line where Leia says, "I love you," and he says, "I know."
Yeah,
not scripted.
Oh, wow.
That's, like, the most famous one. But apparently, yeah, like, listening to a few people talk about it, I guess it's kind of widely known that he's not strong with dialogue. And if you notice that George Lucas didn't actually direct those films, he wrote the story and did the production.
Yeah.
But he didn't direct the original three, but he wrote the dialogue for the... Because I feel like...
Because he writes a script like a third grader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He writes a script like a third grader.
He made Natalie Portman look mediocre.
Yeah. I mean, it was... It's crazy to say that it was lazy filmmaking when you had all of this technology and cutting edge special effects in it, but that's what it felt like. That you... I definitely agree with Dan that he just relied way too much on the new technology, and I think he just lost what made the original so good. Was the drive? It was the storyline that drove it, and it became so insanely popular because, you know, there's all this crazy cool special effects happening in the background. But to be a complete movie, you need both. You know, you need innovative things that people haven't seen before, and you also need a great story to drive the plot. Otherwise, you know, people just aren't into it.
Yeah.
I think the coolest thing about the potential of Force Awakens is the fact that I think J.J. Abrams recognizes what made the original trilogy so solid, which is the practicality, which we saw in Mad Max, Fury Road, earlier this summer, is not necessarily relying on CGI, but using it as a tool to improve practical sets. It changes the world. Because, like, there's one scene, like, one shot where you can tell that Finn and... What is the girl's name? I want to say it's Rey.
I haven't seen the movie, Dan. What does it come out till December?
I'm sorry.
Why are you asking me this?
But there's one shot in the trailer where you can definitely tell they're on the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, right,
and
right.
You can tell it's a practical set, but there's just little lights and tweets and little, like, just things that you pick up in the background that are CGI added.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be done. Because if this was George Lucas, the whole fucking thing is CGI.
Oh, yeah, they're in a green screen.
Yeah,
like,
and it's just looking tacky.
Yeah, and the fact that they went to a private, like, deserted island to film lots of these things, lots of these shots and lots of these scenes, it gets me juiced.
Yeah, I think that was one for secrecy and two for location. I think secrecy had a lot to do with this entire filming and where they were filming it and everything like that. What I think is very impressive about this entire thing, and I think one thing we have to remind ourselves too, is it's Star Wars, but it's also J.J. Abrams behind it. And has there not been somebody that's done a better trailer campaign in the last 20 years for any of his movies?
Oh, dude, like,
yeah.
Super 8 was great.
Oh, yeah.
Every single trailer campaign that he's ever done for any movie has been fantastic and has sold
Star
you.
Star Trek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just gets you talking about it, and I mean, you know, hats off to you, J.J. Abrams. You are the best at making a trailer campaign for whatever movie.
Right. Well, I think his first one, his first major movie, the fucking monster movie.
Cloverfield. Yeah.
That was... I mean,
you guys start really with Alias on TV, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I'm saying in terms of him building up... hype for his movies.
Yeah.
I remember all the hype for that movie building up, you know, releasing those little clips here and there. Yeah, and it's just continued.
I mean, I even think he saved... I'd say he saved the Mission Impossible franchise.
Oh, yeah.
Because 2 was 100%. So terrible.
Yeah.
But he made 3 watchable again.
And that's what I want to tie it back to Star Wars, too, is, like, thinking that, like, J.J. Abrams, what you were kind of saying about earlier, Dan, is you're almost a little worried about seeing, you know, too much stuff in the trailers. J.J. Abrams is doing exactly what he wants to do with these trailers. And he is so confident in his product that he's not leaking anything that he wants to leak, which makes me think of a lot of conspiracies and secret stories that have been leaked out recently about Star Wars that I think we should discuss.
Before that, I just want to say, like, so he's only directed 12 films, one of them being Mission Impossible 3, and then Star Wars, the original Star Trek, but he's produced on just a ton of crazy stuff. But he will be still producing. Not only has he produced all the Mission Impossible sequels and will produce Mission Impossible 6, he's still producing the next 2 Star Trek movies.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that's what's pulling him away from Star Wars. Yeah. It looks like he kind of is going to leave from that, but...
What do you think, though, is going to be the biggest surprise that comes out of The Force Awakening? Because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that J.J. Abrams is very good at hiding. He keeps the cards close to his sleeve. What do you think is going to happen in the Star Wars Force Awakening that we do not know yet?
I think you're going to find out that Luke has gone to the dark side and he's trained Kylo Ren.
That is a very, very... Yeah, I was thinking the same... I was thinking a very similar thing because obviously there needs to be something with the Force Awakening. And that's a throwing off of the balance in the Force. Somebody has to... Luke brought the balance to what was happening. And obviously something has to set that off again. I think Luke is the perfect person to turn to the dark side. And my God, I would watch that over and over and over again. Dan, how about you?
I kind of disagree in this aspect, and I think I'm going to go the other way. Like, you're close, but the thing is, I heard this conversation that somebody basically classified Luke Skywalker as movie's greatest hero.
Ooh.
Like, he is the epitome of being a movie's, like, the entire history of movies, the greatest hero in it.
Okay.
And if you think about it, he is. And that's how he's built up to be. And there's
Dan, do
a reason...
Do you know how many stormtroopers he killed?
All I know is that those stormtroopers had their phase, their lasers set to stun. And
he had his lightsaber set to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, to chop you in half.
But there's a reason why we haven't seen him in the trailer. There's a reason why he's not on the poster. Yet his name is the second largest marquee.
Why do you think?
Is because he is going to play a huge role in moving the plot forward, but I don't think he will have a huge amount of screen time in this movie.
So
because if you have to introduce this set of new heroes, you can't do that if Luke Skywalker is around.
Does he die?
I don't think he dies. I actually think he's in exile like Obi. Because if he's continuing the Jedi lifestyle, he doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have kids. So, and if people who are Empire, you know, faithfuls, and they think that what he did was wrong, they may be out to kill him. So, and I think if he doesn't want to get, you know, Leia and Han in some shit, he's just out by himself, chilling.
He just turned into Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that...
And I think Kylo Ren is out to find him, and to either have him join him or kill him. Because that was the thing with Vader. Vader was like, either you're with me or I'm going to kill you. And if he's trying to continue what Vader was doing, that's the same line. You need the greatest hero in the universe to either be dead or on your team. But I will say, I do think a Skywalker relative is on the dark side.
Right. Because there has to be that shift in order for the Force to awaken again.
Like, I think I've heard things where Kylo Ren and I think her name's Rey, whatever, they could be brother and sister.
Oh.
Separated at birth, kind of like Leia right. and Luke were. I heard a theory of, like, Luke actually has kids, and that he feels the Force in his son, takes him away to train him, and then his son falls to the dark side and becomes Kylo Ren. And that Rey is actually his daughter that he has been having Han and Leia look after as protection. Like, all this kind of stuff, where there's going to be some familial tie to bring these characters back into it, but I don't think you can take the greatest hero to some people's opinions in movies and make him a new bad guy just because you want a twist.
Well, it's not necessarily a twist. I think it would be like a very anchoring story arc for this entire trilogy. Because if Luke turns dark, that's a lot of shit to come back to. I mean, that takes a very big uphill battle that could make, you know,
but if
I'd say 2.5 movies very interesting.
But then if you look at it, it's almost like you have the first three prequels repeating itself.
Right.
Because if they came in order and you didn't get the prequels, Anakin's supposed to be the savior, and he ends up turning out to be the worst villain, almost. And I don't think they would go that route. So I think.
But you're telling me, though, that him going into exile like Obi did in the first three is, you know.
I think that's
more the same
because,
exact thing.
But I think it's
just
a different
what would
reason.
Happen if
it's
it
just, he's
actually
a Jedi
happened,
and there's no
right.
temple and there's no religion and that's just kind of like he can't have a family, he can't do those things. If they stick with
so
God.
He's a Mormon? Oh,
the
Mormon.
Well, he's like a priest. That's
yeah.
what he is. Like, and that's the whole riff with Anakin's heart because, you know, feelings are bad. Don't yeah, don't have sex, so this happens. Like, basically, we can talk about that. The fact that all this tragedy happened because Anakin wanted to nail Padme.
Okay, on that note of tragedy, though, because
Natalie Portman, I would too.
Yeah, I can't blame.
Yeah, right?
I hope to see some dark stuff happen in this
oh, yeah.
next three movies. What will be the first tragedy, you think?
Ooh. I mean, I did think Luke could be killed.
Okay. And that could maybe set off the
that's
awakening?
That's why you need these new heroes. Because you got to mention, like, they're going to be focusing on the three young people they're bringing in.
You're right. They wouldn't do it in the first one.
No, I don't think it'll be in the first one, but I think that could be one. Because, you know, if Luke is supposed to be this all-time badass, he just can't be. Like, it's like the Eagles in Lord of the Rings. Like, that's what Luke Skywalker is.
So, right? Is your money on Luke?
I think Luke doesn't make it all the way through to the end of episode 9.
Okay. How about you? First tragedy and then maybe arcing tragedy.
First tragedy. See, God. I mean, you gotta imagine they're gonna kill off one, if not multiple, of the original members. Just because, I mean, they're old. And they probably would. That's just life, right?
Mm-hmm.
The younger kids are, you know, more athletic. So, God, who are the original? Maybe Leia would be the first. And, God, I just have a feeling they're going to kill Chewbacca, too.
Oh,
he's old.
That'd be
yeah.
bad. You know, my money is on Han getting killed. I think Han. I mean, I've heard that Harrison Ford never said he would come back to the Star Wars franchise if they didn't kill Han Solo off.
He'd have to go out in such a badass way.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if he goes down, he's going down with the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, yeah. The Falcon's gone.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
I don't know how many more, you know, parsec runs it's going to make.
Well, apparently made the first
Kessel runs. Yeah.
Apparently made the first Kessel run.
In less than 9 parsecs, is that what it
right.
was?
Yeah, yeah.
I will say this. Don't even start. I will say this. I do not trust J.J. Abrams at all. I just want to say this because when I went to go see Star Trek Into Darkness, he had put out a goddamn press release saying how Sherlock...
Benedict Cumberbatch
was
not going to be...
Yeah, he was Khan. Not Khan. They're not redoing Khan. Khan's not in the movie. And I'm like, oh, cool, awesome. And I told my friend that as we're seeing the movie. And when it comes to time for him to be like, that's not my real name, I yelled out in the theater, Abrams, you motherfucker. Because he will straight up lie. Like, he won't avoid the questions like he's under oath, but he will straight up tell you lies. And that's why we can have all these theories and there could be evidence or proof, but I think there's a clear reason why in the footage we've seen, we haven't seen Luke's face and we haven't seen Adam Driver's face.
Kylo Ren.
Yeah. You do see the back of him in the most recent trailer. But that's
all you get.
Right.
And there's a rumor coming out that Luke might be Kylo Ren. Or like a mentor to Kylo Ren, which I could definitely see happening. So it'll be interesting to see. December's right around the corner. This movie's gonna make probably the most money ever.
$6.5 million
on a pre-sale.
It might break records on the pre-sale.
It broke the internet on Monday.
That's insane.
Every single movie, like, I feel bad if anybody was trying to see the movies on Monday night.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get shit. Yeah. Because everyone's trying to buy Star Wars tickets.
And you know what? Pop Not Soda wants to thank one person very much, George Lucas. Thank you very, very much for keeping your fucking greasy hands off of this
movie. Holy shit.
Because
this took a turn.
Yeah. Because this is going to be a great movie. Because you have absolutely hardly anything to do with it. And I think as Star Wars fans, we really appreciate that.
Thank you, Disney. Thank you, Mickey.
Yeah,
Money.
Thanks, Mickey Money.
Yeah, Mickey Money. Mickey Money makes things go a long way. It probably pushes George Lucas into a corner, which I really, really like.
Where's George Lucas? Yeah.
Did you see the first three movies?
Okay.
Episodes 1, 2, and 3.
You know what?
We're not going to get on a tangent here. I'm just saying, it's very, very nice to have somebody that actually wants to do something good with this franchise and not just completely market it up the wazoo.
Okay. I do think J.J. Abrams is a much better director. But George Lucas, obviously, thanks for the memories. Enjoy your pile of money.
I hate you so much, George Lucas.
Oh my god. Through the NFL season so far, and I don't know about you, but I love repping my team's colors, love wearing a jersey, and I know my female friends, they love wearing jerseys too, but there are some unique jerseys at shopjerseysweater.com.
What kind of unique jerseys, Dan?
100% knitted. Whoa. Jerseys.
What are you talking about, Dan?
These are jersey sweaters. So, you know, sometimes a mesh jersey, it could be light, could be too cold, but this is 100% knitted jerseys. They've done it for men, for women. For the women, they have a lot of different styles, some more tailgate appropriate, some more NFL and chill appropriate.
Nice.
But head over to our friends at shopjerseysweater.com. Check them out. Browse, let them know that Pop Not Soda sent you, and make sure that you are sporting your team's colors and a jersey sweater come this, the second half of the NFL season.
Ooh. Excuse me. Wow. I don't know what kind of sound I was trying to make there. Well, forget that that noise ever came out of my mouth, and just continue to let that sexy saxophone just course through your body. Because once again, this week, this time, this second, right now, back to the present, it's Brian's Homeless Movie Reviews. And I know you just can't wait to stick that freeze-dried ice cream in your mouth that's been vacuum-sealed for God knows how long. Because we're talking about some more space, and it's The Martian. Now, this movie, not about aliens, but is about Mars. This movie has a star-studded cast in every definition of those three words. Movie stars Matt Damon as a member of a six crew team that heads to Mars to like look at dirt and shit and do whatever astronauts do on Mars. Also in his team of six, Jessica Chastain, we have Kate Mara, we have Michael Pena, who's been in a lot of movies if you don't recognize that name. Sebastian Stan, who probably most notably plays Bucky in the Captain America series. And Askel Henny, who stars in the last movie that I reviewed, Headhunters.
Askel Henny?
Yes. Askel Henny. Axel Henny, who might be the most boring character in the history of television and movies. Like, he shows zero emotion. I just don't get it. It must have been direction from Ridley Scott. Or, like, Ridley Scott was just like, just fucking be there. Like, just check out. Don't act like you're present. That's the type of character that I want you to be. But also in the movie, Sean Bean, who's been in a ton of stuff.
Game of Thrones, Sean Bean.
Jeff Daniels, Kristen Wiig, Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Oh, yes. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yes. Who's actually been in a lot of stuff. He was an Inside Job. He played the cop with Denzel, the other black guy. He was in Firefly. He played
Serenity,
the movie based off Firefly. He played like the guy trying to track him down. 12
Years a Slave, right?
12 Years a Slave. Okay. Starred in 12 Years a Slave. Sorry for butchering your name, but he's an awesome actor. Donald Glover for a little comedic relief. He plays an astrophysicist who ends up playing a very important role in the movie.
An asshole physicist?
Yes, an asshole physicist. He designs the most efficient way for the astronauts to shit in space and allows them to do other stuff.
That's Childish Gambino, though, right?
That is Childish Gambino. Claim to fame so far, Community. I actually like his music a lot. Childish Gambino, go check him out. But this review is not about Donald Glover. This movie is about space and that final frontier. So essentially what happens is this group of six are on Mars. This crazy storm comes in. Matt Damon gets left behind. They think he's dead. Whoa. He's alive. And he has to figure out how to survive on Mars for like a couple years before they can get back to get him. So, you know, the plot is not going to blow you out of the water. There's no, like, twists or turns, anything like that. Why I like the movie so much. Number one, just the acting. Everyone's great in it, except for Asshole Henny, who just, like, is fucking checked out the whole time. And then, you know, just Matt Damon's performance. It's... you know, very similar to Castaway in the fact that he has nothing else to play off of except just himself and his ability to, like, recreate the situation that he's in. And in the movie, I mean, he's on Mars for almost 2 years.
Damn.
So, you know, there's obviously a lot of him just by himself on Mars and, like, you know, him trying to figure out how to survive and, you know, he, like, plants things within his like biodome and creates a watering system by burning hydrogen. He figures out how to extend the life of the rover by you know, installing like the solar panels that they use to juice his batteries, just, you know, a lot of the shit. So acting's great, number one. Number two is the cinematography and the direction by Ridley Scott is probably some of the best I've ever seen. I mean, it's not even close either. It's like, you know, you have like Avatar, which is just like fake. He made Mars, you know, which is obviously a real planet, but he just created, it's hard to explain, like he created the just like the feeling of Mars, which is just like vast, desolate, you know, unexplored, but also just really beautiful because it's untouched by man. You know, it's just nature.
Natural.
It's the universe. You know, it's just like all these chemicals and matters came to be, and for whatever reason, like, these planets exist and rotate around the sun, and you can, like, live on it. And there's just all these epic shots of Matt Damon just, like, sitting there looking at the horizon with the sun setting, and, you know, shots of them in space when they're, like, coming in and leaving Mars, and Earth as well. You know, Earth looks awesome, too, and when they show those shots. So just visually, I saw it in 3D. Definitely recommend it to go see it in 3D. You know, it's not one of those movies where it's going to, like, hurt your head. It's not Avengers where there's a whole bunch of, you know, like, fast, quick actions and might give you a headache. It's like Castaway meets Prometheus meets Gravity. And I hate to do that because, like, it cheapens the movie when you compare it to other things. But, like, that would be my description in a nutshell. But yeah, I love this movie. You know, it's got Ridley Scott all over it. It just really has everything. Great visuals, great acting, good story, good action scenes at certain parts. And it's believable, like as unbelievable as all this shit he's doing and like all of these physics that they talk about and describe. It never feels that it's completely out of the question of reality. And there's humor in it too throughout, which definitely I think makes it more entertaining. And I mean, yeah, just Matt Damon's, he's great in it, really good. So my final review for The Martian, I'm giving it 5.
Whoa.
Out of 5 quarters.
What? 25.
Hey, now.
It's raining quarters.
Damn. That's almost a bag of Doritos these days.
Almost.
Holy crap.
That could get you 2 tacos at Jack in the Box.
That is. 2 delicious tacos that I'll probably enjoy before The Martian.
But yeah, go see The Martian. See it in 3D. It's fucking rad. I took my girlfriend who hates space movies, but she thought it was great. And you can see Matt Damon with their shirt off a lot. So there's that.
Nice. Did you like it better than Castaway? Or
I did personally, because even if there was like zero story to the movie, just seeing the visuals in 3D made it worth it.
Yeah,
like that was worth the price of admission, which is now like $17 at AMC.
34 with your girlfriend.
So that's right. Nice. Yeah, it was like $33.98.
Ridley Scott does 3D very well.
Will say, I think the reason why I enjoy this movie better than Castaway is
no Tom Hanks.
No, I like Tom Hanks. Is
Neil Wilson.
Just the science he gets into.
Yeah.
Like, you get to, like, you're like, damn, people are this fucking smart.
Yeah.
And you get to admire that. Where Tom Hanks, it's more perseverance. Not saying that Matt Damon doesn't have that, but it's just, like, his problems are harder.
Yeah.
There's no wildlife that you can kill and eat on Mars. Like, you can't just go outside. You can't build a shelter out of palm trees.
Tabula rasa.
Like,
blank it's, slate.
Yeah. With a spacesuit.
Yeah.
And, It was very well paced, by the way.
Yeah.
And it translated well from novel to movie. So.
Yeah, $125. Is that the first $125?
That is first $125.
Yeah. Since we've been to the homeless. Max was close.
Yeah. That's
Max was close.
So I got a question for you. What situation would you rather be in, Brian? Would you rather be Matt Damon as, like, the best botanist stranded on Mars? Mm-hmm. Or would you have rather been University of Michigan's punter with 10 seconds left and a low snap against Michigan State?
I'd probably go to Mars because that kid is never going to be allowed in Michigan ever again. I mean, he'll be welcome to Michigan State parties and get-togethers for the rest of his life. Because that was the worst college play. And by worst, I don't mean just, like, ridiculously unathletic and awful. I mean worse, like, the decision he made in that situation could not have been any worse.
No. That was the biggest botch of college football history.
I mean, if you have
It would be like the quarterback handing the ball to the defensive end and saying, hey, just go run into the end zone. Like, you deserve it, buddy.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this play, look it up. But, you know, Jim Harbaugh is now the coach at Michigan. He lost his first game against Utah, who now is ranked like third in the country on the road, and had won five straight. Playing his first big rivalry game as head coach against Michigan State University, who was also undefeated. And they had the lead by 2 points, 10 seconds left to go, and they are punting the ball from, like, their own 25. And it is a low snap to the punter. He can't pick it up quick enough. So as he picks it up, he turns his back to kind of, like, go 270 degrees.
To, like, ninja kick it.
Yeah, to, like, just sideways kick this shit. And as he drops the ball to punt it, he just gets, like, it's almost like if a zombie pack, like, pulls a guy away. Like, he gets just eaten alive by these special teams of Michigan State, and the ball falls into the arms of a Michigan State player, who then, I don't think, made the right decision. Because he decides to try and run this into the end zone, which, if this is me as a coach, I'm yelling at you to get down the ground so time stops. Because there was less than 10 seconds left when this play started, that means you have 10 seconds to recover the ball, move 20 yards into the end zone. If you get tackled short, game over. Like, if you could go straight to the ground, knee on the ground, time stops, you kick a field goal, you go home as a winner.
Right. I think there were, like, 3 seconds left.
Yeah, I think at that point, like, by the time the ball was snapped.
If you're going to run it in, you're running it all the way. And he comes very close. He goes down the left sideline at, like, the 3 or 4 yard line, almost steps out of bounds, like, almost gets pushed, but follows one more block in, and it's a walked-off win.
I just love that it happened to Harbaugh, too. I hate Harbaugh, and... Yeah, it was very nice to see that look of disappointment. That one kid in the stands, too. Did you guys see that?
Oh.
The one kid in the stands.
Who's just...
The best is the girl behind him.
He had the Undertaker streak broken face.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it was priceless. I actually think he was better than that guy.
I mean, apparently, statistically, Michigan State had a 0.02% chance of winning the football game before the snap.
I would have given them a 0% chance to win it. Like, that's the only way they could have won it, is if that scenario happened.
It's ludicrous, man.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's totally on the punter. Yeah, the snapper probably snapped it low, but then you just fall on the ball because there's just, and I don't think they were definitely not on their own 25 yard line. They were punting from like the 40. Because
were they?
Because he ran it in a good like 20 yards. So yeah, I mean, I get it. Even if the punter fell on it at like the 15 yard line, that's presumably an easy kick. But you got to remember, this is college football where kickers. I wouldn't trust a kicker with a hard boiled egg in a fucking room full of pillows. You know, those guys crack. And if you're that punter, you just got to know, if you muff it, just fall on it. Because they still got to score. And trying to do some crazy shit.
Or actually, maybe just throw it as far as you can downfield to just waste more time.
Yeah, but that could result in like an interception.
But yeah, I think everybody's around you. If you just chuck it down the field over everyone coming at you, which is hard. But I don't get, like, it was just funny because it looked like he was trying to do, like, a drop kick almost. Like, he was just kind of, like, dropping it to the side.
Yeah, like, this was backyard football. He's like, fuck it.
But, I mean, that's tough, man. And I don't put it on him. I don't put it on him.
What do you mean you don't put it on him? He's the only person to put it on.
Because it's the snapper's fault, man.
What are you talking about? Okay.
Because if the snap is good, the punter's never in that situation. Because if we're talking about it, the punter had a very lose-lose situation back there. Fall on the ball, they kick a field goal and win. Or you just try and punt it to try and waste time. Like, you know how it ended, but I'm saying, like, to be put in that situation, like, your options are shitty. But it's like being left on Mars by yourself. No good options are left.
But it's not like the ball sailed over his head. I mean, it was just a low snap that...
It didn't even make it to him.
Right.
No, he bobbled it himself. He, like, hit it off of his hands, didn't he?
It was It's low. Literally, like, yeah. It hits the ground right at his feet.
Yeah, so it was a bad snap. But still, just you gotta... Right. Yeah, you gotta understand in that situation, just fucking fall on the ball. And don't make a mistake
worse.
Right, that allows them to win the game. Allow them to make a mistake to lose the game.
Well, at least he was under pressure. Because if we want to talk about special team mess-ups...
There was one...
Two this week.
Span of like 48 hours.
Yeah. This one was like a fake... I thought it was a joke for a long time when I was watching it, but...
I think this is the first time that no one knew what was going on in the game. Like, each sideline was confused.
Right, like, did that just happen?
Yeah. And we're talking about the Indianapolis Colts and
New England Patriots.
The Patriots.
Sunday night, game of the week.
Oh my God.
And yeah, the worst, you know, that was the worst college play I've ever seen, and this is the worst NFL play.
This is the worst football play I've ever seen. Like, just hands down, this may be the worst professional sports play I've ever seen.
Other than maybe an own goal?
No, this is worse.
This is worse than an own goal? Because at least they're trying to, like, kick it away.
Yeah. At least there's some sort of, like, pressure.
Lying down.
Like, this is legitimately...
Giving up. That's like giving up.
Well, this is like just pulling somebody from a completely different sport onto the field and then having them, like, quarterback the ball. And
yeah, they took the two first guys that they saw with Colts jerseys on. They're like, hey guys, you want to come play this play?
Yeah.
Yeah, you...
It's like when you invite your friend to play a sport that they've never played before and they don't know the rules. And they play football, but you want them to play basketball and they don't understand traveling.
Yep, right.
This is what this was. Yep. And if you see this play, it's like the third quarter, I want to say.
Yeah.
Or beginning of the fourth quarter. And Indianapolis is only down by, I want to say, 7 points.
It's not
like,
even. They're down 6 points at this point. They're down
6 points. I think, like, yeah, what, 27 to 21.
Yeah.
And they're at, like, midfield, little maybe into New England territory, and out of field goal range. And they shift 9 of their players from the middle of the field over to the right sideline in a weirdly illegal formation. and they left just two guys with the ball. One, the snapper, and one guy right behind him as in a quarterback position where he would take a hike. And everybody's confused, like, what's going on? The Patriots kind of started to go over with, like, the big group, but then all of them came back to just the two guys with the ball. And you're like, oh, they must just be trying to draw them off sides. Like, they're just going to take the delayed game, get more room, and punt it. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Chuck Pagano doesn't play by those rules.
The snapper decides to hike the damn ball to the surprise of everyone on the face of the planet.
Especially the guy underneath him who gets the ball.
I'm the biggest deer in the headlights face. And they just got destroyed by all these hungry New England special team players just surrounding them.
Yeah. It was very, very, very nasty.
So weird, because it just didn't make sense.
Well, and you saw Pagano. I don't know if it was actually Pagano's fault, though, because, I mean, he was clearly trying to draw them off sides. And it was like there was... They did not... I don't know why...
Well, they still got a flag for illegal formation.
So it is his fault. I mean,
it would have been a penalty.
They just wanted a penalty. Like, either come off sides or penalty.
Yeah. Right. To snap that ball, I would... That takes a lot of balls to do.
Yeah, and they just gave the game away at that point. The Patriots just steamrolled from then on out. That was clearly the momentum shift in the game. And now the Colts are probably done, you know, to make the playoffs. The Patriots are still undefeated. And Chuck Pagano is likely going to get fired. You know, they lose a couple more games.
Yeah. It was very, very bad to watch.
It was painful to watch.
Yeah, especially against the fucking Patriots. On Sunday night, everybody's watching this game, and you decide to fucking be Susie Cutie and run this stupid fucking play, thinking you can outsmart Bill Belichick.
Would have much rather been on Mars instead of that guy.
Yeah, yeah. So... What's the next... Chargers are playing who this week?
The Raiders.
The Raiders?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to say anything because this season looks like a piece of shit season. So, hopefully we squeeze a win out.
Yeah. If we can beat anyone, it should be the Raiders twice. If the Chargers go 2-14, as long as they beat the Raiders twice, I'm okay.
Yep. Exactly.
They've had a successful year.
Exactly. Well, this has been a good episode, guys.
Yeah, episode 33.
Yeah, 33. And
Trace.
Yeah, completely not relevant to anybody's age, which is nice.
Not at all.
So
it's far, far in the future.
Yeah, so.
Back to the future.
It was very nice.
Part 33.
Yeah. And, Dan, take it away.
Thank you for joining Pop Not Soda for our 33rd episode. If anytime throughout the week you would like more Pop Not Soda, feel free to follow us on Twitter @pop_not_soda. Or you can check out our individual Twitter accounts, you know, see if you liked one of us better. So you can find Brian @BOwen619, Brett @Niece's Pieces, or myself @Dan_Perez_. As always, our episodes are released every Monday on iTunes Podcasts and on our website, popnotsoda.podbean.com. Be sure to check out this week's plug, www.shopjerseysweater.com, for any of your knitted jersey needs. And please let them know that Pop Not Soda sent you. Again, thank you for listening. And maybe we'll bump into each other in the future or in the past.